Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark Scores with you on a Tuesday. Well, as I mentioned, will AI traffic cameras be watching you on the road? Not just for speeding or running red lights, but to see if you are perhaps texting and driving or not wearing your seatbelt. Well, joining us now is the Vice President of Government Solutions for AccuSensus, David Kelly. Now, AccuSensus is the company that has these AI-powered cameras to crack down on traffic violations, and David Kelly joins us now. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being on.
All right. I think anytime we talk about AI and cameras, people's first concern goes to privacy. So let's start first with what these AI cameras do and how they capture information.
So the cameras are really same as every other traffic camera that's out there. And what we're doing at AccuSensus is we're working with some of our state partners to be able to determine if people are driving their vehicles, and mainly commercial vehicles, while they're on a cell phone. And what we're doing is we're looking at images of drivers on cell phones.
So it's mostly just cell phones? It's not seatbelts? It's not anything else?
It can be seatbelts. We are primarily working on cell phones, but we do have the ability to detect whether or not someone was wearing a seatbelt. So what happens is after the picture is taken, the AI will look at, do a sort of a first review of the image to see if there's a violation. And in the case of a violation actually happening, that image is then transmitted to a police officer. And that police officer will review the image and then make a traffic stop. So it's not something that you're getting in the mail weeks later. It's happening in real time by a police officer who is making a real-time traffic stop.
Yeah, that's the important distinction, because I think people will hear this and think, well, this is red light camera. It's the same thing. I blow through a red light. I see that flashing light, which means they've just taken a photo of my license plate. I'm going to get a ticket in the mail like 3 weeks later. How quickly can they stop somebody if they get an image, an AI image, and then it's given to an officer?
So the image is transmitted within seconds. And depending on how far downstream the officer is from where the camera is, and that will vary depending on how our partners will set up their programs. But the image is, depending on cellular communications, can be transmitted within seconds.
Yeah, that's my question with the process of this, because the cameras are taking the picture, and then how is it determined? Is it humans? Are there people determining if that's a violation or not? And then how do they get that image then to the police officer?
So the first arbiter of we have multiple rounds of review. The first arbiter of whether or not a violation is actually happening is done by the AI. Now, after the AI determines that there's a violation and sends that via cellular network wirelessly downstream to the police officer, the police officer then reviews the image and confirms and does their own manual inspection of the image to determine whether or not they actually want to go ahead and make a traffic stop.
Okay, so with AccuSensus, there is not a human staff at AccuSensus determining the violation and then sending it to the police officers. Those images are going straight to law enforcement.
Correct.
So in something like this, I think people are obviously concerned about their images being out there, wherever they are, in a database or something like that. There are privacy issues. Some people care about that sort of thing. A lot of people don't. But for people who have that concern that an image is being taken of them, what happens to that image after the fact?
So it depends on whether or not there's a violation that's been determined and whether or not there's going to be a citation that's issued. If there is a citation that's issued, that those pictures will be saved as part of an evidence package for law enforcement, as if there needs to be a court proceeding or something else like that. It'll be part of their standard evidence package. If there's no violation that's determined, or if the police officer decides he's not going to write a citation, that image will be deleted at the spot of the camera within 10 minutes.
And I know that these cameras are able to capture the car and license plate. Can it also capture the face of the driver?
It does capture the face of the driver it does. Most of the images that we are getting and most of the violations that we are getting are below the dashboard. Right. You know, people are very rarely now holding the phone to their face, and we are actually able to get the image below the dashboard, which and in that shot, we are not getting a driver image. But when we are taking an image that is a more shallow shot to determine whether or not the person's phone is holding their phone to the face.
So where are these cameras positioned and how are they able to do that?
So the cameras are positioned roadside. And they're positioned roadside, and then as a vehicle drives underneath the cameras are raised up. In for the case of commercial vehicles, they're raised up about 24 feet in the air, and they come and they will detect down into the cab at about a 45 degree angle to be able to get below the dashboard.
Now, you said if there's not a violation, these pictures are deleted. And just because, I mean, you know, we always hear nothing, nothing ever goes away. It doesn't really go away. Hypothetically, are these recoverable, all of these images?
They are not. Because what happens is the images are deleted at the source. And so it's very important to understand, you know, the driver privacy is something that we also take very seriously, and we share a lot of the concerns that drivers have, and we've taken a lot of steps to protect driver privacy. And one of them is that, you know, there is no if there's no violation, there's the camera, the image stays on a hard drive, which is right at the point of where the camera is. And then, you know, if nothing happens to that image within 10 minutes, it gets deleted right then and there at the hard drive. Nobody ever sees it. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not stored someplace that we can go into a cloud later on. The only images that are actually saved are ones that are determined to be violations by law enforcement.
So this system is being tested in the UK, in Australia. There are a couple of different states in the United States that are testing it as well. What results are you getting from these tests?
So we're seeing some from the programs that we see here in the U.S. We're seeing some pretty strong results. We're seeing a decrease in fatalities. We're seeing people are using their phones less, and because they understand that what is coming up and what is happening when you do enforcement, and it's one of the big issues that we have with traffic enforcement in the U.S. And we haven't had a very good record of traffic enforcement over the last 8 years. But when you do have active law enforcement, you're going to see good results. You're going to see fatalities go down. You're going to see compliance go up. And those are some of the things that our partners are seeing in their programs here in the U.S.
And my understanding, too, is that the version of these AI cameras that's being used in the U.K. and Australia is different, slightly different than the way they're being used in the United States. Is that correct?
It is slightly different in the UK and Australia, and more so in Australia and UK. I think we're really looking more so at pilot programs type of programs. But in Australia, the way that the program is being used is an automated version where you do get the ticket in the mail.
Okay, so for the United States, it's that, and it's called the Heads Up program. That's the real-time program in the United States, whereas in Australia or the UK, you do get that ticket in the mail. like the red light cameras.
Yeah, and the laws in those countries are a little bit different than we have here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I think that the programs as developed over in Australia and the U.K. are a little bit different than how we've developed automated programs here in the U.S. So what we've done is we have made a really conscious decision to work with our law enforcement partners to include them in the process of ticketing and being able to use this in a real-time enforcement atmosphere.
So how does the relationship with law enforcement work? Is it you reach out directly to them? Are you working with local governments? How exactly do you establish these relationships?
So our programs primarily right now are on the state level. So we're working with state departments, transportation, or state police agencies to work on, and that's mainly because in the commercial vehicle space, those programs are run by the state police agencies. So again, you know, the enforcement programs that we have, where we're working on distracted driving and seatbelt enforcement, are commercial vehicle programs only. And so state police have special units that are equipped to do commercial vehicle enforcement.
Okay. So right now, if people are listening to this thinking, okay, are these cameras going to take a picture of my car? Right now in the U.S., it is exclusively commercial vehicle?
We are doing commercial vehicles. Correct.
Okay. And my question is, because in Missouri, texting while driving and not wearing a seatbelt are a secondary offense, so you can't pull someone over for that anyway. In commercial vehicles, is it an offense that you can be pulled over?
It is mainly most of the commercial vehicle rules of the road are federal rules.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a different on the law side of things, and that's actually one of the challenges that we have as we do try to talk to people about passenger vehicles is the difference in the laws that are out there. You know, when you have a secondary enforcement seatbelt law or a secondary enforcement distraction law, you know, that creates an issue with, you know, well, those are probably states we're not going to be able to operate in on a passenger vehicle until those laws get changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my question was going to be expansion into states like Illinois and or Missouri, if you anticipate that anytime soon.
So we don't have any active enforcement programs going or any active real significant conversations going on with Illinois or Missouri right now. However, I will say that when more states start understanding some of the successes that some of our other partners on, the phone does ring pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I can't say what's going to happen tomorrow. I can tell you, but right now we don't have any active conversations going on in Missouri or Illinois.
Yeah, and I guess the key here would be your focus on commercial vehicles, because every state's going to have different rules for passenger vehicles. And in Missouri, we had red light cameras, and then those were deemed unconstitutional by the Missouri Supreme Court. So right now, we can't even have red light cameras for any vehicles, passenger or commercial, I believe, but no passenger for sure. So something like that. Before this were to come to the state of Missouri, my guess would be it would have to be commercial and then work within the federal laws.
Most likely. And Amy, you know, I'm one of those state law geeks. This is the world I live in. And so understanding and going state by state to try to understand what the different laws are, it just really creates opportunities and challenges in various places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until I think that there's some changing of the Missouri laws from passenger vehicles, that's going to be something it's going to be a challenge for us.
Well, David Kelly, we really appreciate your time. Again, David Kelly, AccuSensus Vice President of Government Solutions. Thank you for sharing the information today. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you very much, David Kelly. AI cameras. I mean, right now, Ranj, I think the big thing is it's in only a couple of states. They're looking at it, and primarily for commercial vehicles.
Yeah, and there are other programs and companies that are doing similar things. There was just reading one about a company that is installing cameras on buses, and I believe that's being used in the UK as well. And the intent is to keep bus lanes clear so the buses run more smoothly, because a lot of times people park in the bus lane or they're doing something they shouldn't, and these cameras inside the buses will in real time transmit to law enforcement, who can ticket that person or whatever. And they're seeing some results there. Inherently, I don't know. I mean, anything with artificial intelligence, I think we all have a little bit of
hesitation.
I take yes, there's a little bit of that. I take pause with just about anything. It almost all of them, I want to see more first, right? But I don't know if I have a problem with them using it to make sure people aren't texting and driving. I don't know yet that that's – I don't know that that bothers me, because there are people who still do it, and I still see it, and I hate it. And when you see somebody looking down at their phone while they are driving and you're in the lane next to them, I wish they would drive off into the ditch. Well, every time I see it.
He's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Marks.
Well, you're putting people at risk.
No, I
Stop
get it.
Doing it.
It's like driving drunk. It is. It's driving
it's
drunk. It's terrible. He's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Markscores. How are the roads out there? We'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900. So we're getting reports on the conditions of the roads around the area that the city is pretty good, kind of in the downtown areas. I know our producer was saying South City, kind of into the neighborhoods there, are a little rough, not plowed yet.
Yeah, around the Tower Grove, Shaw area, we're still pretty rough this morning.
Yeah, and I know around on Olive in Creve Coeur, Roger Brand was saying there are parts of it that were pretty rough, maybe even undrivable if you're not being smart there.
Yep.
And Kirkwood Road, there are some major arteries, I think, that have, they're still a little sketch. So you want to be careful if you're driving around. It did get me thinking, we have a new driver in the family. And I thought, if you're in a suburban neighborhood, on a day like yesterday, when no one's out, right, and there aren't plows because you're in just some suburban neighborhood, that would be a good time to take a new driver just for a few minutes out the driveway, up and down the street, around the cul-de-sac, so that a new driver can feel what it feels like to drive on a wintry mix on ice, to know just how slow you have to go to be able to stop, just how easy it is to slide. Wouldn't that be a good time to practice driving on this weather?
You know what? I don't know. I can't recall the first time I drove in it.
I don't know if it was
in practice or in reality. I'm not sure.
Mine was definitely reality. But if you have a chance to practice, like, wouldn't this be a good time to drive around the neighborhood?
Perfect. Yeah, it'd totally be perfect.
Yeah.
If anything, I think what I wish I had done is, even though it doesn't happen very often to us, what's the last time we really had to deal with a storm like this? What, 5 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago, where it was really difficult. And I told you the story about me coming home from work and the snowstorm had started in the afternoon. And by the time I got home at like 7 o'clock, the ramp to lead into my parking lot, I couldn't get up it because my car wouldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So if anything, I wish I had gotten a car that's better in snow, even if we don't get it all that often.
Right. Cause
that's like the number one thing.
When you get it, you need a good car. You need a car that can handle it. I know. I was just thinking of little things that I was glad that I learned when I was a young driver. My dad had always said, even if it's not bad weather, just when it's cold, keep a blanket, coat, hat, gloves, and boots in the car, because you run out of gas, you get a flat tire. If it's one thing, if you're just going to the store and you think you'll be back, but if all of a sudden you're stuck on the side of the road and it's 10 degrees, that's a big deal.
I have a safety vest in the car, in the trunk.
Whoa.
Yeah, one of the bright yellow ones.
What?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Just in case. Also, I have the little triangles, reflective triangles.
Wow, that's more than I have.
Just in case. I have two of those.
That's impressive.
See, I know, right?
I keep the ice scraper in the car year-round, because if I take it in the summer, I'll never remember to put it back.
Yeah, it's always in there.
I wish I knew how to change the, I almost called it the blinker fluid. I wish I knew how to change the wiper fluid. I don't know how to do that. And I'm
just
out.
When you get your oil changed, they top it off for you.
I know, but somehow, every time I get my oil changed, they top off the wiper fluid. I'm great. It's fine. But then as soon as it gets cold, I get the little notification. Like, it snowed. I haven't even used that much wiper fluid. And it snowed, and now I'm low. And now all the grime is hitting my windshield.
You must overuse it.
I don't think I did this time, though.
Because I shouldn't say never. I rarely use the wiper fluid.
Yeah. Well, Matt, did you
I'm very judicious with mine. Out there just willy-nilly with it.
I'm not willy-nilly.
You're willy-nilly.
Matthew, what are you glad you learned as a young driver?
I totally agree with the ice scraper, and I keep it in my car year-round. And I also keep jumper cables. And that's helped me out a couple
times. I don't have those.
I should get some of those.
Do you know how to use them?
Yeah.
Of course. Well, I follow the instructions that are on the cable. Yeah. There's like a little tag that's got the instructions. So, like, I feel like I could do it without them, but I always pay extra close attention to the little instructions on the tag just to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do it wrong.
No.
Electrocute yourself.
Blow up the car, yeah.
I'll tell you what's funny. I have changed a tire myself. I have used jumper cables myself. I've done it before. I feel like if I had to right now, I wouldn't know what to do. Like, I've done it, but I don't remember how to do any of it.
I don't even know how to pop the hood of my car. The AAA guy's like, can you open this? I'm like, no.
You don't?
No. I don't know. I don't know how to do it.
There's a little latch.
Whatever. Hey, Bernie Miklas joins us next. He is KMOX Sports contributor. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Amy Mark Scores, Chris Ranji with you on a Tuesday. And joining us now, as he does every Tuesday, is Bernie Miklas, KMOX Sports contributor. And of course, the Bernie Miklas Report is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Hey, Bernie, how are you? Are you the another snowed in person here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was just talking about it. You know, I'm voluntarily snowed in.
Nice.
Like, I don't have to leave. So what reason would there be to leave, right?
I think you're doing your civic duty. You're given space.
Right. That's right. And it's my wife's birthday on Thursday. So we do have dinner reservations. And by then, I think at least in the cities, at least some of the roads will be cleared. So we will get to that dinner. It's pretty close to home anyway.
Nice.
And by the way, if you live in the county, the St. Louis County Transportation Organization has tweeted within the last hour that the plows are being deployed in subdivisions throughout the county. With a stubborn combination of ice and snow coating the pavement, our progress will necessarily be slow but steady. We thank residents for their patience. So you're all being thanked for being patient.
That's good. I'm not sure what's going on in the city in St. Louis, but that applies to a lot of things. Anyway, let's move on, right?
I would say slow and not so steady for a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're not really sure if we're moving at this point. But
right.
Hey, speaking of not being sure if they're moving, Nolan Arenado didn't want to go to Houston, but apparently is willing to waive a no-trade clause if he were to head to Fenway Park in the Boston Red Sox. What do you make of that and the odds of him actually ending up in Boston?
Well, it's interesting. You know, this is the third team that he has flirted with, one time directly with the Dodgers, and then he had, another time he flirted with the Yankees because Yankees fans who were writing on social media, hey, come join Goldie, we'd reunite in the Bronx, it would be awesome. He liked all those comments, so that was his way of saying, yeah, I like that idea. And, now it's they sent word to two really good baseball writers at MassLive.com that Boston would be a preferred destination. In other words, sending the word, like, don't worry about whether he'll invoke his no-trade clause. Oh, he will come to Boston. So this is like basically the third team he's tried to campaign for to attract interest. And as far as we can tell, unless there's something that comes out of the blue, it's a really limited market. And it might be a matter of Boston or bust. And even that's got a lot of complications, because if Boston wins out in the bidding for Alex Bregman to play third base, Well, they'll have no use for Arenado. And then after that, I would make him remaining in St. Louis as the strong betting choice, right? In one way, it's kind of strange that there isn't more of a market. But number two, if you see his offensive decline and the salary commitment, I can understand why there's a lot of other teams that are just taking a pass on this.
Yeah, it's not all that hard to figure out if the market is low for him. But if you had to, would you be more surprised or less surprised if he's still in a Cardinals uniform in February?
I'd be less surprised now. I would have thought, I think I've said this before, you know, that I would have thought, given the baseball winter meetings with John Mozeliak, was very upfront about their desire to, or their intention to trade Nolan Arenado. I thought it was probably 90% that he'd be traded, but there just isn't a robust market for him. And that's the reality. I mean, people see that he's going to be 34 years old. His offensive game has declined two consecutive years. He's still an elite defender. But how much do you really want to pay for defense? Any kind of gamble on Arenado would be because you really covet his defense. And it would be silly if teams expect him to all of a sudden, you know, turn back the clock and become a fearsome hitter again.
Bernie, looking around the division, we saw this within the last couple of days, Gavin Lux ending up with the Cincinnati Reds. Kind of know what other teams have been doing in the division so far. Does it change much about how you look at the National League Central?
Well, I would put it, handicap it this way, and there's still a long way to go in the offseason, as we know, but I would say Chicago Cubs would be the favorite. Look, I'm not going to make the mistake of downgrading Milwaukee because they traded Devin Williams. Milwaukee's an incredibly resourceful organization, very, very smart. It's the Cubs and the Brewers. After that, I think the team that's moving up is Cincinnati because they have actually upgraded their roster this offseason. And the most important addition was hiring Terry Francona as the manager. And so I would think the Cardinals would be behind those three teams and probably good enough to still stay above the Pirates, but we'll have to see. Because we'll have to see if the Cardinals plan to add any pitching bullpen help, whether the Cardinals subtract any more salary because Arenado is going to stay. Maybe that means they're more strongly inclined to trade Eric Fetty or Ryan Helsley and to try to dump Steven Matz. So the Cardinals, it's a little bit static with them. Right now I would slot them fourth behind the Cubs, Brewers, and Reds.
Yeah, I never really know what to think of Cincinnati because they have had this good young core of talent, but I've always felt like they're not going to do enough to supplement that talent. I don't feel like they typically do. The Pirates never have. That's just how they operate. So I guess looking at the rosters now, losing Goldschmidt, the Cardinals losing Goldschmidt, potentially Arenado, I suppose they're probably the fourth best team in the division. It's rough to look at it that way, that's the reality of the situation at the moment.
Well, it is, and here's the thing about the Reds. They have added some talent this offseason, and as I mentioned, I mean, Terry Francona is one of the greatest managers in the modern era. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, with Gavin Lux, they have some flexibility because he can play a lot of different positions, and they're also going to be getting Matt McClain back, who's a really good second baseman who also can play other positions. And I think that The problem with the Reds is it's been twofold. I'll be brief on this because this points to why you're skeptical of them, which I totally understand. They have been an absolutely horrendous defensive team, just absolutely horrendous. And the second thing is, frankly, even though David Bell's a good guy, they have been poorly managed. So a lot changes with Francona there because now they're going to have one of the best managers of his time, and they're also – and one of the things he will do is clean up their defense.
Hey, Bernie, switching over to St. Louis Blues hockey. And by the way, they do have a game tonight against the Minnesota Wild at 7 p.m. kind of funny to hear what Chris Ranji brought up is that the Blues are moving three games to Channel 4 from FanDuel Sports Network. So it's the first time in more than a decade and a half that the Blues will have a game aired on an over-the-air station in the local market. And I grew up watching Blues hockey on Channel 11, but we also didn't have cable until I was like 17. So the first thing I would do at the beginning of each season, look at the schedule and see how many games I would get to see on Channel 11. Is it weird to you that they're throwing three games on local over-the-air TV now?
I like it. I mean, it's a throwback thing, but if you look around professional sports, I mean, I can't name them off the top of my head, but there are more and more teams that are starting to move some of their TV package to over-the-air TV rather than cable or satellite or streaming. So I think that's actually a really good development, and maybe it'll have a little bit of a different look or feel. I was smiling to myself when you were talking about this, Amy, because I was thinking – does that mean Ken Wilson's coming back to do those skits, right?
And the Bud Ice Penguins, the doobie doobie doo.
Oh, I forgot about those.
And Ken Wilson's voice. Oh my gosh, those were, I tell you what, Bernie, I was living the good life. 13, 14 years old, watching Channel 11, Ken Wilson and Joe Micheletti. Oh,
got it. I know.
Was the best.
I know. Hey, I'm thinking, and this probably won't happen because, again, the last thing I want to do is be disrespectful to John Kelly and Jamie Rivers. It's really not about them. But I would hope by moving some games to KMOV that maybe those games would have a bit of a different look and a different sound, that it wouldn't be just the typical – and the Blues broadcast is very good. Don't get me wrong. But it just wouldn't sort of be what we've been used to seeing. They would throw in some new things to maybe make it more interesting. So we'll see. I doubt that will happen, but we'll see.
I know we've talked about the broadcast rights for sports before and the way they're going. You know, you're seeing more games on Amazon Prime, whether it's NFL or whatever, baseball played around with MLB or on Apple TV Plus. So there are different streaming services that are holding these different sports. For a lot of people, it's too much. You don't want to have to subscribe to every single service in order to get all the sports you want. Do you imagine it will just continue to go this way and people are going to have to suck it up? And if they want all the sports, they'll have to have all of these packages? Or will there be some sort of breaking point here?
Well, that's a great question. I would say the answer, and it sounds like, you know, BS, but the answer is yes and no, because first of all, we're going to see more and more streaming services jumping into this business. I mean, I'm convinced Netflix will have a Super Bowl at some point relatively soon. And there's even more parceling out and bringing other streaming services into it. So that's the yes part. I think it will actually continue and it'll actually be more widespread, the amount of streaming. But the no part is, frankly, you can get around it if you take out a free trial for a month or so. You can watch the game or games you want. You're not obligated to continue streaming that particular service, and you can go back to whatever way you've been getting your game. So there's always a little bit of way to get around it. I don't know what the breaking point is. I really don't. But there certainly will be stressing sports fans' patience if this proliferation continues. There's no doubt about it.
My patience is stressed. I made this huge announcement at the beginning of the season that Hockey Amy is back, and Hockey Amy cannot figure out how to watch the Blues game.
Well, there are three games coming up next month and the month after you can watch on Channel 4.
I mean, this is insane. And then, like, I get, you know, it was Bally Sports and it's FanDuel, so you do all the rigmarole there to deal with it. And then now it's on TNT or ESPN, and I thought it was through Disney Plus, but I don't have Disney Plus, so I logged in with someone else's. Well, I don't think that person has ESPN Plus with Disney Plus. And I mean, honest to goodness, I have really struggled this year.
I don't blame you. I was like that with Cardinals baseball in 2024 because I just didn't want to take on another streaming service. because at that point I had DirecTV, and DirecTV and Bally Sports Midwest could not come to terms. So I lost Cardinals games through my DirecTV package. So you know what I did? I waited until after the game. I would listen to it on the radio. I would monitor it that way. And I would wait till well after the game, because then I knew it would be on MLB.tv, and I would stay up till 1 a.m., 1:30 in the morning watching the Cardinals game. But the thing about recording games, it's actually I prefer it, because you can move through the slow parts. You know, you're sort of not captive to watching everything live. You can kind of zip it along a little bit.
That's funny. Hey,
real quick, Bernie, before we say goodbye here, yesterday is what they called Black Monday in the NFL. That's when everybody gets fired. Is there a candidacy, or is there an organization that you're really looking for to see what they do at head coach?
Well, the number one free agent is Mike Vrabel. I don't think there's any question about that. He's a really good head coach. He did a lot more with Tennessee than any coach had done down there since the early years of Jeff Fisher. And they kind of ran him off because the owner didn't like him personally or something. That's why Robert Kraft did something that was perceived to be really harsh, which it was harsh. I mean, he hired Gerard Mayo to replace Bill Belichick and then gave him one season and out. You know, he's fired after one season. That's not necessarily fair. But it's kind of like the Blues with Jim Montgomery. Robert Kraft knew that if he didn't fire Gerard Mayo, as harsh as it seemed, he would lose out on his chance to get Mike Vrabel, who was a Patriots Hall of Famer and a perfect fit for the Patriots. So if he didn't act, just like Doug Armstrong would have been slow to bring in Jim Montgomery, the worst thing that happened to the Patriots is they lose Vrabel to the Bears, or they lose him to some other team. I don't know what your Bears are going to do, though. I would be very concerned.
Screw it up.
I would be very concerned. Yeah.
Oh, I'm totally concerned. There's no doubt in my mind they will make the wrong choice. No doubt.
And the thing about the NFL that's so bizarre to me, and it's been going on during my entire lifetime, recycled coaches. Well, why are people interviewing Rex Ryan? Why are people interviewing Ron Rivera? You know, look at all the outstanding young coaches and the head coaches in the NFL. There's a bunch of them. Why do you recycle stuff that's not worked in other places? I don't get it.
Yeah. Owners go with what's familiar to them, and these guys are old. That's what happens. Hey, Bernie, we will talk to you on Thursday. Tell us about our friends at Saliga.
It's always great being with you guys. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been around since 1927. It's an independent American Standard heating air conditioning dealer that has been taking care of our family for 16 years. So we're part of the generations of St. Louis families who have come to appreciate, respect, and call on Saliga Heating and Cooling. And they also have that top-of-the-line industry-leading American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment as an added bonus. They do residential work, of course, but they also do commercial work, all makes and models. They have some other services that aren't part of heating and cooling. And you can look at that at the website, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. There's a long list of services, so you can scan that to see if any of this stuff interests you or applies to you. You also should consider becoming a member of the Priority Club. That's what the Mikluses have done, and we're very happy being a member of the Priority Club. It's a maintenance program, and the benefits are pretty significant, we have come to believe. The preventative maintenance will give you peace of mind that everything is safe, that everything is secure. You're not going to have any problems with your heating or cooling. You will benefit economically, because maintenance does, in fact, extend equipment life. So you're not always having stuff break down and having to buy new and more expensive equipment. And most of all, you can trust Saliga with their service 100%. And I always say, you know, for a business that opened in 1927, the same family owns it. Do you think they'd still be going strong in 2025 unless they were excellent at what they do and unless they were completely trustworthy? So as you can tell, I'm a big fan of Saliga Heating and Cooling. Finance options are available subject to credit approval. So for all of this information, including the phone number, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
The Bears! Brewers losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season.
Congratulations to our friend Chris Ranji over there.
How about those losers, huh?
They won. Hey, speaking of losers, I'm terrible. Terrible! I got one game right.
One?
One on our no-prize football pick'em. Guess who won? St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore with the victory.
Didn't he win the first time he was on last year? I feel like he did.
I think he did.
Good for him.
He's good.
Yeah, he really is.
He's really good. Congratulations to listener Dean, who was also outstanding.
Yeah.
Dean was incredible. Matt Pajeski, what do we need to know about these results?
Well, other than you coming in last place.
By a lot.
I was the only person brave enough to pick the Chicago Bears.
Attaboy.
And really, I wasn't brave enough. It's just I was a proxy for Chris Ranji, so yeah. I had to act in your stead. And
yeah.
That's the reason why I picked the Bears, and it turned out to work out in my favor.
You know what? And I had the feeling going into that because mm-hmm. it didn't matter. They were going to win. I knew they were going to win.
Interesting. What's funny is yeah. they won on the week that you technically didn't pick them.
That's correct.
Yeah, Matt had to pick them.
I think it's you every week next year.
I think it's you.
There's not going to be a next week, that's for sure, for the Bears.
No, dude. Their vacation has started as early as we figured it would.
So is that it for us? Our no-prize football pick'em's over?
We're going to do one more week. One more round this Friday.
So we'll have to include Monday's game, so we're going to do it a little bit differently because there are six wild card games. Which, by the way, this is the best weekend of the NFL because you've got all these different games. They'll play Saturday, Sunday. They're going to play the Monday night game, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most fun. I love this weekend. I know the Super Bowl is a big deal and everybody gets together and there are all the parties and whatnot, but this is the best.
That's awesome.
I love this one.
Nice. So do we need to throw out?
Yeah, we need a listener.
We need a listener.
We do.
We need a listener.
This is your last chance. I would panic, honestly. Matt Pajeski, what way do you prefer our listeners contact you?
They should text their name to the call line or the text line, 314-436-7900.
That's right. Call or text if you want to be our listener for the no prize pick 'em.
12:30 on Friday.
It's the last one. The very last one. Very exciting. Hey, I have a quick shout out here to BJC, their injury clinic. And their orthopedic center, their outpatient center, incredible. We are so lucky to have the BJC Injury Clinic and Orthopedic Center, the one off South Outer 40. I mean, as smooth can be with my stupid broken ankle, literally going to the injury clinic, you don't have to be around sick people. You broke a bone. Why should you also have to get COVID? You don't. With the injury clinic, they take care of you. They're so friendly. They're so kind. It was just clean and pleasant. So to all of the nurses and the doctors at BJC, the injury clinic, and then their MRI imaging center, Ranj, it was a delight. It was like the four seasons of medical experiences.
Are they going to amputate or what?
Yes.
Can they save it?
Yeah, we're getting rid of that and my arm for some reason.
Your arm's going too? Just to balance you out?
Just to balance it out so I don't tip over. They're the best. Hey, he's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Markscores. We talked to the mayor of Granite City yesterday about the blocked merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel. Scott Linsicum, vice president of general economics at the Cato Institute. He's got some other thoughts on that deal. He joins us next.